WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Blossom Dearie, the jazz singer and songwriter whose little girl voice, playful style, and unique phrasing made her popular in nightclubs for decades, died on Saturday in New York. She was 82. Stephen Holden of the New York Times called Dearie a genre unto herself, pursuing a singular career that blurred the line between jazz and cabaret. She was born Marguerite Blossom Dearie in East Durham, New York. Her middle name came from a neighbor who delivered peach blossoms to her house the day she was born. She trained in classical piano but embraced jazz after high school. She sang in New York City clubs in the 1940s, and in the early 50s she moved to Paris, where she made six solo albums on the Verve label, now regarded as classics. She formed her own label, Daffodil Records, in the early 1970s and continued performing well into her 70s. Her final album, Blossom's Planet, was released in 2000. Terry spoke to Blossom Dearie in 1998. They began with one of the songs in her repertoire, They Say It's Spring, recorded in 1957.
They say it's spring. This feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on the wing. I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. Could it be spring? Those bells that I can hear ringing, it may be spring. But when the robin stops singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you.
Blossom Dearie, welcome to Fresh Air. Now, you have a very small voice. When you sing.
Yes, I do have a small voice, yes.
Did you ever try to make that into a big voice?
Oh, into a big voice. I have taken voice lessons a couple of times from legitimate voice teachers. In fact, I'm going back to a teacher now. Once in a while, once every 10 years, I go to a voice teacher, and we work on my voice a little bit, but they all say the same thing that... They tell me I'm not breathing properly. And it's very funny to have worked and sung for so many years and then someone say to you, well, you're not breathing properly. Also, I do turn to the side, to the right when I sing, and they say that that constricts the vocal cords.
Oh, because you're sitting at the piano and you're turning
to
face
down,
the audience.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly the breathing that they are concerned about. They say you have to breathe right in this diaphragm and work on it. And I think that would probably make my voice more powerful. But at this age, I don't think I'm going to worry about it. And I have never been a singer who could stand up and sing like a theatrical singer. I just, I sit down, and I've always had used a microphone. I have a kind of microphone technique.
Now, I think because you have a very unique voice that you often rethink songs, though maybe that's just your unique sensibility. But I mean, I love you for the obscure songs that you find and sing, but also when you do a standard, it often sounds very different than
Thank
the ways
you.
I've heard it done before. And I think an excellent example of that is your version of Surrey with a Fringe on Top.
I was just going to say that.
Good.
And I've had so many requests for Surrey with a Fringe on Top that I'm doing it again after many years.
Oh, good. See, most mm-hmm. singers, I think, do this at a kind of clip-clop type of pace, and you slow it down to a ballad.
I slowed it down.
It's really lovely.
And, when I first heard the song sung in the Broadway show, I didn't like the interpretation at all.
Me neither.
But I liked the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sort of relate to that being from the country and the horse and the buggy, which is something I always liked. And so I just slowed it down to give the words more meaning. And same thing with T for Two. I slowed that way down. And Manhattan.
Well, why don't I play Surrey with a Fringe on Top from one of those Verve reissues?
All right.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high stepping strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top.
That's Blossom Dearie, recorded in 1958 from one of the records reissued on the Verve label. Now, I know when you moved to New York, you became friends with Gil Evans, the arranger who, among other things, arranged the Miles Davis records Birth of the Cool and Porgy and Bess. You met Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. What was the impact of bebop on you? So many musicians were absolutely taken by bebop, and you are much more involved with standards and, you know, with a much more melodic style than bebop. So I'm wondering about the impact of that on you.
The impact of bebop was a great impact on me, and I knew those musicians and loved them very much. I heard Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, and then eventually I worked at the Village Vanguard opposite Miles Davis, and that was one of the highlights of my career, I think, working at the Vanguard opposite Miles Davis in that group. That was just tremendous.
Now, Miles is a musician who I think always loved songs. He recorded
a lot of
songs on his records, and I know he liked a lot of singers. Did you trade song ideas with each other?
Yes, we did. We were very friendly. We belonged to a kind of a social circle, and we'd meet at parties and things like that. And he liked Surrey with the Fringe on Top, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no kidding.
And we were very friendly, and then he finally arranged for me to work opposite him at the Village Vanguard for five different occasions. That was in the early 60s, and that was very memorable.
What do you do when you're learning a song? Do you feel like you need to know it by heart? Would you go up with sheet music for a performance?
No, not sheet music. I have to learn the music first. Mm-hmm. I have to learn to play the song, get it in the right key, and I learn the song at the piano. But I have lyrics on the piano which are hidden. The piano part is just about all I can handle for the beginning of the song. Then I sort of refer to the lyrics now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the lyrics. If there's a story involved, it's easier to memorize the lyrics than just impressions and things like Peel Me a Grape. Well, I guess it took me a long time to learn that because there's no story. There's no continuity. I mean, it's just one thing after another. A love song is easier to memorize.
Why is that?
Because of the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it just has images, then you just sort of have to memorize it.
Well, Blossom Dearie, thank you so much for talking
with
us.
Blossom Dearie speaking with Terry Gross in 1998. Dearie died Saturday in New York. She was 82.